Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
You're listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
This is Paul Hawksby.
This is Max Rushton.
And this is the H&J Daily, our podcast with some of the best bits of this afternoon's show. Thanks, as always, for downloading us. We were joined by our very own Johnny Owen, filmmaker and TalkSport presenter of a Sunday morning. And,
yes, Welshman.
Yeah, talking Wales. He's sponsoring his local club. He'll explain a bit more about that as well. It's not all larks, of course, here on the show, because Troy Townsend joined us from Kick It Out to react to the booing of the knee being taken at the England-Austria game last night. And then we brought you a very competitive birthday spread. It was a good game, wasn't it?
It was a good game, yeah.
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 Here
don't
want to
give
is.
Anything away.
Everyone. Good afternoon, Max.
Good afternoon, Paul. Good afternoon, everyone. Yeah, Luke says, don't overthink it today. Max Simon says, after last week's win, I think the celebration went on so long, you're still hungover. No chance. Go high, says the Court of Arbitration for Birthday Spreads. Radio, just called radio. Just go out there and enjoy yourself. And Chris says, don't use too many direct hits at the start. Lead him into a false sense of security. Go for the kill at the end, he
Your
says.
Direct hits in the birthday spread are very impressive. The stats, of course, are backing that up. You're getting a lot of direct hits.
Well, that's why I'm sort of a match play.
Including one last week for somebody you didn't even know.
A match play is in the Ryder Cup. I'm a really key part of the Ryder Cup birthday spreads, the British team.
Yeah.
British and Europe team Ryder Cup. Obviously, you're the captain, right? Yeah. But actually, I do really well in that. You know,
that's your speciality.
Just, I'm unlucky that stroke play is the only one that is currently broadcast nationally. All the match play games take place behind closed doors.
While we're nominally talking about golf, maybe it's a good time to set up one of the things we want to hear from the listeners this afternoon. Yeah. This was a little piece in the Sun yesterday. Mischievous US Open bosses plan to pair up feuding rivals Bryson DeChambeau and Brooks Koepka at Torrey Pines. And so we were thinking, you know, sometimes in life you are paired up. It might be a table at a wedding, mightn't it? It might be a desk near somebody. It
might be a radio show.
It might be a radio show, indeed. And you find yourself stuck with somebody that you can't shake off. No, I'm not me, obviously. But yes, you get the idea. We're looking for those bad pairings when you just sat down and said, oh, no, not him, not her. Whatever it was, let us know this afternoon whether you're doing some training course. Like, you know, let your imagination run. Well, obviously, it's a true story.
Yes.
Don't make it up.
No, don't. In fact, don't let your imagination run.
Don't let
all.
Your imagination. Just basically deal in facts.
Bull 18, I've been to two weddings where I had to sit next to my wife's ex-husband. I found Stella helped. He says,
well, she's a lovely girl.
Jared says, I had to walk down the aisle with an ex-girlfriend at a wedding. How does that work? Not presumably not as the father of the bride. I mean, that's a very dangerous.
That sounds like the start of. That's very strange.
It is strange.
Like Kilroy. You walked down the wedding. Anyway, you get the idea. So, anyway, talksport.com, text 81089, tweet TSH&J. Do let us know this afternoon about those unwelcome pairings you've encountered in life. Something we didn't get to talk about yesterday,
right,
was Bradley Orr, formerly of Bristol City, QPR and Blackburn Rovers.
Where's he now?
Was
Bradley.
Well, Bradley's not involved in the world of sport. He's in business, I believe, with a soft play centre amongst. That's one of his things.
Okay.
And
okay.
He did have... he found himself in court a little while ago because around this soft play centre, when I think he was asked to close it down, he claimed Magna Carta.
Did he?
So he, I think he pinned
the Magna Carta up on the wall.
I think he... Do you know, like managers
soft play
say,
the soft play really centre. Got
in the soft play centre. It was lost on most of the 4 year olds. Really.
But so some 4 year olds going, it's not strictly a constitution, Mr. Orr.
That's right. My dad says. But yeah, it did strike us. So if you know of any other footballers, imagine pinning Magna Carta up. Look, it's as good a cool topic as the other one you've suggested.
Okay.
Tell us why you've suggested this.
I was going to say, do you think Bradley Orr, he'd be good in a 3-person law firm where it's like Wilmot or Jenkins.
Yeah.
And people are like, was that Wilmot and Jenkins?
That's
or
right,
Wilmot?
Yeah.
Good. So Dominic Calvert-Lewin, you were spotted yesterday during that fantastic victory, which means it's definitely coming home over Austria. He jumped over a human man, didn't he?
Did,
at
the
one point during the game, he launched himself so high, it was utterly ridiculous.
And it reminded you of, you hadn't heard of this before. Mm. Had you heard of it before? Duncan McKenzie, formerly of Everton and Leeds, jumped over a mini. That was his party
before
piece.
A game.
Yeah, he did it. They had it on the side of the pitch. Quite a famous image. Yeah,
it's a great picture. And it's a strange thing to do. I mean, I think it was only a testimonial, but still, that's one way to warm up, isn't it?
Yeah,
he's been injured in the warm up. How he jumped over a mini, you know, it didn't work. But I'm interested to know. And Lars Sivertsen also, he actually texted me this question for radio, which is very much a save it for the weekend. But what's the biggest thing you've ever jumped over? And it reminded me of former Scunthorpe manager, in my mind, Scunthorpe manager, Nottingham Forest fullback, of course, Brian Laws. Footage emerged from years ago on YouTube jumping over a canal.
Yeah.
And I was very excited about this.
What? I mean, quite.
It wasn't like the Regent's Canal. It was like a small.
It was like. Not the Suez.
No. Jump over the Suez Canal. Anyway, it was a nice little bit of footage. I think it was recorded by family, and it was just Brian Laws jumping over a canal. And so on Soccer AM during the glory years, you wonder why. You know, they didn't last.
Yeah.
I launched the feature, managers jumping over things, which I thought would run. I thought other managers would watch, because players watched back in the day.
And they'd get their gaffer to jump over.
They'd be like, Jose, would you possibly, you know, jump over this fridge or whatever? It never really took off.
No. Did anybody do it?
No, it was episode one in a series of one.
Nobody did it. And even the series was basically a family video, not something that had been generated from the idea.
I thought Ian Holloway would have done it. I mean, Ian Holloway built a chicken coop for us. So, you know, you'd have thought...
He would have jumped over.
He would have jumped over just a small fence.
If you pushed it, he would have done. If you'd reminded him.
If there was a football manager, I'd say anywhere, conference and above,
who
would be prepared to jump over something live.
Right, okay.
We would trust them, obviously.
Yeah.
0871 722 3344.
Okay, fair enough.
Do you think we'll get one?
Yeah, right. No.
Do you reckon we'll get one?
I think we've got better things to do.
What an out of work. Maybe Chris Wilder did it. I think we'd still take that. It's not work. But
we'll take it. You don't have to be currently in. They're not going to do it anyway. Why are we having this conversation?
Anyway, but what's the biggest thing you've ever jumped over? I put it out on Twitter. I've had no responses.
Oh, no, seriously, right? Biggest thing you ever jumped over. And
pairings you've regretted, Paul, as well.
Pairings
they go
you've
well
regretted.
Together.
They do. There's some. It seems to work today for some reason. Talksport.com/H&J. You can text to 81089 and you can tweet to TSH&J. We will reflect on the football last night. England, of course, beating Austria 1-0. Duncan Wright was there. We'll get it through his eyes. We're going to be talking Wales with Johnny Owens. And it was a bit of a shame last night, that sending off. It really did change things, didn't it?
Complete. I mean, in a friendly, they should have a way of saying,
just let it go.
We know it should be a red, even though I don't know if it should be. But we'll let it go because
didn't help the French either, who probably wanted to play against 11 players. And I thought Scotland, I saw it highlights. I thought Scotland looked good last night, actually.
No, getting nervous.
And played well. They played well. We've decided, rather, you know, many of our Scottish football experts you'll hear from during the tournament, but not many Englishmen watch Scotland as much as Ian Crocker, who was commentating last night. And I think, you know, I think he's somebody, you know, he's got a foot in both camps. He works in Scottish football, but he is English. So I'm interested to see what he thinks, because from what I've seen, considering they had so many players out, they played some decent stuff last night. So we'll be doing that, and we will have a birthday spread for you a little bit later on. Competitive fish finger eating, 100 fish fingers in 15 minutes. Doesn't sound a lot, but it is in reality, though.
To me, it sounds quite a lot, doesn't it? I mean, normally, what are you, a four, maybe a five on a greedy day?
Fifth, I mean, that's the quantity, but I mean in terms of speed, eating 100 in 15... Look, I mean, we're going to speak this... And he did it in an England shirt, which made us feel it was certainly worth a conversation on
TalkSport. Javier Sotomayor's been in touch.
Oh, yeah, OK.
he hasn't.
Yeah. Oh, OK, fair enough. No, sorry, I thought we had. No. I know you're well connected.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Joining us now in the studio is Johnny Owen. Johnny, good to see you.
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Hello, mate. Yeah.
How are you?
Yeah, very frustrating, I'm sure, from your point of view. Yes. Because, you know, what can you find out about your team on the eve of a tournament when you're down to 10 men against the world champions?
Ridiculous, wasn't it? I was like a childish one-man protest. I stopped watching.
Did you?
Yeah, yeah. As if it would make a difference. Yeah, I thought that's pointless. But, you know, Max was just saying before we started talking, the French team were trying to say to the referee that this is pointless.
Yeah.
You know, there's no point if you send him off. And also, it was a harsh decision anyway for the penalty. But then to sort of double it by saying, well, and it obviously wasn't intentional. Mm. So sending him off for an unintentional handball, I'm just a bit like, well, that's pointless almost.
Yeah. I quite like that attitude to football. If something doesn't go right, just take the ball home. That's off. I mean, it's interesting. Lee Dixon afterwards was saying on the ITV highlights that is a penalty, and Wrighty was saying it as well. And I think by the letter of the law, it doesn't matter if it's intentional if you're stopping it. But maybe we need to change the laws of football. I've got lots of ideas for law changes. But if you don't intentionally handle the ball on the line, a penalty is enough of a punishment.
Yeah,
you know,
and that's feeling a bit double jeopardy.
Obviously, a hard. Sometimes they'll go, well, is that deliberate? Is it not? But also, they were talking about if your hands are in an unnatural position, and I know people have had this conversation so many times, but you look at a still image, and if someone's hands are in the air, you go, well, his hands are in the air. But if anybody listening who's moved at all, right, will know that their arms, sometimes, if you lunge one way, your arms go one way. I think that's a totally natural place for his hands to be at that time. Yeah. I find it deeply annoying. I'm leaving.
You're not
because
even
of
Welsh. You're not even Welsh. You're turning the show off.
No, I'm with you. I thought the same.
So, the group itself in the Euros, how are you? I mean, Italy, not a bad side.
No, they've been decent. And Turkey and Switzerland,
it's
both.
Yeah, it's a tough group, isn't it?
It is, yeah. And obviously, this the sort of long trip to tobacco as well in the middle of all that. So, it's going to be really difficult. I think, like, such a cliche to see it, but start well. If we get any kind of result in the first game, then, you know, we got a chance, but it's going to be tough. There's no two ways about it. I mean, the one good thing is Gareth Bale has come back into a bit of form, which is massive for
us. And I wonder if he'll be buoyed by what Ancelotti said. Look, we don't know what his plans are. He's deliberately not saying anything. But hear Ancelotti say, you know, he knows the player. He's worked with the player. He says he's still very much in my thoughts. You know, he didn't get a lot of game time, but he scored goals towards the end. He's still a good player. So Bale may feel, because it seems like family are quite happy in Spain, he may feel that he's got another chance at Madrid.
Yeah, he's always said he's very happy there and wants to stay in. Mm. You know, and everybody says it, but he seems happiest playing for Wales, doesn't he? That's the thing.
Yeah.
So that's what we're hoping as well, this tournament. He's already probably our greatest ever player now, I'd say, you know, John Charles. But I think qualifying for two tournaments out of the last three and nearly getting to the World Cup, that game against Ireland, it's been really down to him as a talisman. He's been astonishing for Welsh football, really, in that respect.
Actually, before the sending off, in the small part of the game which we were allowed to watch, you know, Wales held their own. They had that one chance there. Daniel James got in. I think it was Joe Allen. You know, Lloris just got there, or Kimpembe did a good block for Joe Allen. But you looked okay, didn't you?
Yeah, I mean, we're on a decent run. And I mean, there's one stat I read yesterday which is astonishing. Games that Bale and Ramsey have started, competitive games, so tournament games and qualifiers, we've only ever lost one since 2016 against the England game. Mm. So when they play, we're a really good team. We're difficult, you know, for anybody. Listen, it's going to be difficult in Italy, but, you know, we've got to be looking to pick up points against Turkey, Switzerland. And then, I mean, I think they try to make it, I think this best place third can go through as well, all that kind of stuff. We've got to be looking for a second or maybe third, you know. And once you get through, like it happened last time, it's always a one-off game, then anything can happen.
I mean, yeah, you made a film, of course, about
honestly, I am not just saying because you're here. It's so good. It almost made me want to be Welsh,
which is the finest compliment out of anybody but the film and Max.
I mean, it was nice. Such an emotional time. And when we were over in France, we were meeting up with Welsh fans. It was such a wonderful atmosphere around that tournament. It's a shame that we're not going to get that sort of travelling army of fans from England, Scotland and Wales enjoying games overseas.
It is a shame. I mean, when they sort of announced the format of this tournament, I thought it was a bit disappointing, really, because the great thing about a tournament, especially somewhere like France, which is an amazing country to have a tournament in because of, you know, everything about it, you know, the food, the weather, it was just amazing. And it all came together. I think my theory is we'd had so much misery over the years in nearly qualifying some higher power went, all right, boys, you know, this summer you can have it all, really. Yeah. Almost all. You can nearly win it. And so I think, you know, everything sort of came together. Even the cities, we were in Toulouse, Bordeaux, and places like that. You know what I mean? It was like, we go to Bordeaux, it's beautiful, isn't it? The weather's stunning. And everything about it was just seemed to be perfect for us. And the team played really, really well. I mean, this is what I'm doing for this tournament, interestingly enough, is I'm going to be in Merthyr Tydfil.
Ah.
Slightly different from Bordeaux.
But and different from Baku.
Absolutely, well. Yes. Yeah. Well, more similar to Baku, probably. But I'm basing myself down there in my hometown club of Merthyr Town in the Webley Suite in the grandstand.
Nice.
We've done something down there for the squad announcement, and it's great. And it was really sweet actually, because Merthyr's a real football town as well. In the valleys, it's quite famous for it. And when they went down, and the guys in Talksport were saying they were worried in case nobody was going to be there. And so when we turned up, they were queuing on the block.
Oh wow! Yes.
Fantastic.
So the clubhouse will be packed every time, so it'll become a little bit of a hub. And I thought myself, I'll have it there because there's so many Wales fans in Merthyr who would have travelled, and we can kind of make it sort of a thing. I was even tempted to sort of camp there. I was going to ask Merthyr if I could sort of get a caravan and a tent on the pitch so we could make a tournament. You know what I mean?
Nice. Chatting to Ben Fisher, who covered the game for The Guardian this morning, saying Wales v France, in terms of the battle of national anthems, that is up there.
Yeah,
of the absolute finest.
Two good ones.
I've often thought that when we play them, it's like that they do, because it's one of those anthems that they is, well, you could just do the tune, can't you? We don't know the words.
Yeah.
And Wales is a bit like that. Everybody English who doesn't know the words always goes da 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 da. It's that bit, isn't it?
Well, in the Euros, the one Wales, Italy, and of course Italy's.
Oh, of course.
In case you didn't know, Italy's national anthem is called Rom Pompi Pom.
I
love the Italian. I mean, it makes me, you know, a World Cup's coming when you hear, for me, when you hear the Italian and the Brazilian national anthems.
Of course.
They're the ones that make you kind of, you're beaming. The World Cup's there.
Yeah. Should say Danny Ward's penalty save there was.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. He made some good saves in that game. Well, there's a bit of a debate about him and Hennessy, isn't there?
There is. I'm slightly leaning towards Danny at the moment as well. I mean, Hennessy's been excellent for us over the years. This is the modern game. I know I'm one of the most respected goalkeepers. He can't get any game time because Schmeichel is probably arguably the best keeper in the Premier League at the moment. Mm. One of them, anyway. Mm. I just wish he was playing more. You know, that's the thing. But he looked really sharp last night. What I've seen of it before I sulked and took my ball.
What did you do instead?
I had a few pints. I just sort of.
Just telly off?
Yeah, just. Sort of,
So it wasn't like you didn't go anywhere?
Oh, no, I was in a pub. So I just
you were in a pub.
Did you get goal flashes? Did you? Were you?
Yeah. The
Griezmann goal was a thing of beauty, wasn't it? I mean,
it was a good hit.
Mbappe, Griezmann. Yeah.
Was it?
just pinged it in the top corner.
Mbappe, Griezmann and Benzema is good.
Yeah, so I mean, you're up against decent opposition.
Some good players.
They've got to be one of the... England are very strong, and Belgium.
Yeah.
Belgium need De Bruyne, but...
A lot of people are fancying Italy. Is that a bit of...
Italy, they're on a really good run, aren't they? I think they've lost in, I don't know, 15 games or something like that, so that's always going to be...
One of England's chances, because we played England last time. I was just saying to Max, I think Scotland going to cause England a lot of problems in that game because it's a derby and it takes on a different dimension. That was the case with Wales-England, wasn't it?
Yeah, and I think, you know, especially the younger generation, they don't remember the England-Scotland games like I do, you know, and I think the stats between the two countries, I think England have only beaten them like twice more than Scotland, which is extraordinary when you think Scotland's a country of 5 million people. So like I said, they won't come down here and make it easy for England at all, but I think England have probably got the best chance they've had in a major tournament I can remember. It's probably since 1990, I'd say.
Yeah.
They really are very strong.
With all of that, the fixtures being played at Wembley as well.
That's massive, isn't it?
The only other times we've played at home was 66, of course, when we won it, 96 when we lost in the semi-final.
I can't deal with this hope and expectation. It's
like, before we let you go, Johnny, you have gone into the sponsorship business. You mentioned Merthyr.
I do. Me and my partner, Vicky McClure, have sponsored Merthyr Shorts, a production company. And it's caused a bit of a stir on social media and certainly in the Welsh media today, which is nice, actually, just to do something for the club. I'm a Merthyr boy, born and bred. The first club I went to go and see when I was a kid, my father supported them. So I thought it'd be quite nice for us to do that for the club.
Why did you choose the shorts specifically?
Just a bit cheaper than the shirt.
Yeah, okay. At least he's honest. Yeah.
No, the shirt had already gone. Right. So it was the shorts.
Who's got the shirt? Are we going to give them a bit of publicity? Do you know?
I don't know, actually. It's a good question.
Okay.
I know Cherry Red Records. I've just done the training kit. And I think the Football Manager have got involved as well. So there's some good sponsors they've got there, Merthyr.
Okay. Hmm. Maybe the cast of Line of Duty could do the whole kit one year. That'd be fantastic.
The
it?
Trade Centre.
No, Martin Comsting could do the
trade
socks.
Trade Centre. No comment. I will ask them. I'll try and get into it. They did sponsor the a Belfast ladies team, haven't they? The three of them were sponsored recently, I noticed. So, yeah, they've got form for it.
Great for a team to run on the pitch with bent coppers on their shirts.
Fantastic. Bent referees last night, you know what I mean?
Which is where we came
in. You haven't sponsored a Tottenham
Well, I was just saying, you sponsored one of the
Tom
Cambridge
Champion
press. But if I want to
sponsor
Sonny's socks, it's going to cost me about 60 grand. I haven't got that kind of money. That's the trouble with supporting a Premier League side, of course.
Yeah, they support Mirza.
Yeah, that should make a change.
Your team.
I should,
you can sponsor a player.
This seems as good a time as any. Johnny, you back at the weekend?
I am. I'm doing some stuff, obviously, around the Euros. And I'll be down in Merthyr, I think, right through the tournament, really. Well, as long as Wales is in there. So I hope it's longer than 2 weeks. We'll see.
We're going to be in Cardiff at one point, myself and Andy, doing a show. We'll be there. What day are we there, John? We've got to work it all out.
What sort of conversation is this? Where are we at? We're on Thursday, mate. We'll see you there.
What time are you getting?
I'll give you all the details.
We'll have a pint.
Mal says, I can confirm Merthyr's a football town. My son is currently taking on 8 local lads in a park. Current score, Wales 2, England 2.
Good lad. There we are. Good lad. There you go. I've got to shout out my brother as well. He absolutely loves your show, Chris.
God bless him. Thank you, Chris.
Chris.
Bless him. Good man. Even when Max is on.
I was about to do that myself before someone else did.
Cheers, Johnny. Thanks very much. We'll catch up with you soon. Johnny, are in there. Listen out for him covering Wales during the Euros for TalkSport.
The Hawksby and Jacobs.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promote for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Daily Podcast. The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Should point out, we haven't discussed yet, Ben Godfrey's first touch in international football, which you could just see that angle where he's got his head in his hands going, oh, this can't be how I begin my England career.
I think I'll kick off with a no-look pass.
I think so.
It was quite bold.
Somebody tweeted me to go, was that the ultimate cheers, Gareth, for leaving me out of the 26? There you go. You'll bring me on. And I'll just... Oh, it was just such a
deliberate own goals.
That was an extraordinary moment. And the other moment I really liked was... Sam, who was on with Sam Matterface with Lee Dixon, I thought they did a great job actually. But when Trent Alexander-Arnold was there and they super slow-mo'd him coming off with his injury, and Sam turns to Lee Dixon and goes, "Could you just lip read that for us?" And Lee sort of going, "I'm not sure that was in the job spec. Do I have to be a lip reader? I'm sure there are people paid money to do this.
People have looked at it and they're saying he's saying it's gone." And Lee was quite dismissive, wasn't he? He said, "Well, we don't know that, do we?"
He wasn't buying into it. Could have said, "The game's gone." Yeah. Maybe that's what he said.
Yeah.
Who knows? Anyway, it's a great shame for Trent Alexander-Arnold, isn't it?
It is.
It's like a story about jumping over things.
Yeah, because you asked earlier on, didn't you? Because we saw Dominic Calvert-Lewin jump over a man.
He jumped over a man, and it's not being talked about enough, frankly. Right. What a skill. We should really use that to our advantage.
Yeah. I mean, if you're running towards a player, so you can just put the ball past him, and rather jump over him.
It's a great idea.
What a great skill that would be to jump over the man in front of him.
Why hasn't he done that? See, Ancelotti's been holding him back.
Yeah.
This could be the new sign. Who are they going to bring in? When Dalton Grant is the new Everton boss,
you
really see Calvert-Lewin go to the next level. Anyway, Steve Watson from Brackley says... It's not quite
the old Newcastle player.
Not the old Newcastle player, no. When me and my mate Steve Grimer, he says, played golf in Spain, we always hire a buggy because of the heat and the terrain. 1 year, Steve left one of his clubs on a green. We've all done that. we'd played earlier. We decided to go back for it. We jumped in the buggy and off we went the wrong way down the fairways. When you're going the wrong way down a fairway, you can't really see the bunkers. Not sure what speed we were doing, but we found ourselves flying through the air, unintentionally jumping over a bunker. We didn't have time to be scared. We just landed on the other side of the bunker and just carried on. Not something I'd recommend. And to this day, my heart beats faster when I think of what could have happened. But what a beauty. Imagine if you were just, you know, you were just sort of slowly going up the seventh, and then you just see this buggy just flying over a bunker towards you. So it's not strictly a correct answer to the question, but I welcome the text all the same.
We've got another one of these, jumping over something. I attempted to jump over a big red post box, says Troy, the Arsenal fan. I almost made it, but my joggers caught the top, which resulted in a sore arm. It could have been a lot worse than that, Troy, certainly.
Kelly says, at a friend's wedding, my husband got progressively more drunk. Happens at weddings. Jumped over progressively higher stacks of bales of hay. This was before it got really silly. They sent a photo of him over about four bales of hay there. The bride was uber competitive and fuming she couldn't join in her wedding dress.
Thank you, Kelly, for that.
Thank you, Kelly.
And we are asking this afternoon because the US Open, so they like to have fun with the pairings. I don't know how much fun it will be if they put together which they're planning. Bryson DeChambeau and Brooks Koepka. That's what they're considering. So those pairings, those moments when you found yourself with somebody and had no choice but to soldier on, could be that table at the wedding, it could be at work, wherever it else was, but unwelcome pairings we're looking for this afternoon.
Yes, please. But we haven't had many. People welcomely put together, aren't they?
I'm surprised.
Happily put together, aren't they? Although I was paired to play golf twice with the young pup that my wife ran off with.
Oh.
I imagined the ball was his head. That's one way to get...
That's a bit dark.
Anonymous. One way to
keep
get,
it light, mate.
It's a bit harsh, isn't it? Maybe go to a different golf club.
Yeah, it would be difficult, wouldn't it?
I mean, you are going to watch... You know, it is a good idea, isn't, to put DeChambeau and Koepka together.
Yeah.
It's going to make more people go,
we'd all watch it.
I want to see
the body language would be an absolute sensation, wouldn't it? Yeah.
Do you want a quick numbers-based quiz ahead of the birthday spread?
Go on, yeah,
very
quick.
From the Daily Star. How many litres of water can an elephant guzzle in a second when it widens its nostrils by 30%?
26.
Three.
Oh, okay, fair enough.
26 litres a lot in a second.
That is quite a lot. But I would have said, you know, 100 fish fingers in 15 minutes was quite... Well, I wouldn't know.
We'll find out later.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Depressingly, once again, last night we had the taking the knee being booed before the England-Austria game. It was hurriedly drowned out by the applause of a majority of the supporters in the ground. But as Gareth Southgate said, you can't pretend it didn't happen.
Yeah, and, you know, Bukayo Saka's interviewed about it after the game. He scored his first goal for England.
Greenish saying the same thing, saying that, you know, we hate it. We don't like it, you know. It's not, I mean, look,
Putting your players off.
Before, yeah.
I mean, beyond the stronger and more important parts of the conversation.
If you can't appeal to the people doing it, their better nature or their humanity, just look at it. If you want, look at it from a football context. The players that you've gone to support, playing for your country, they're proud to play for their country. You want them to win. You want them to win the Euros. And they kick off a game with boos ringing in their ears. And all of them are affected by it, not just the black players, clearly. Yeah. Troy Townsend joins us from Kick It Out. Good afternoon, Troy.
Good afternoon, gents.
I mean, you can't come up with answers, can you? You don't quite know how to approach it, what to say, but it is just depressing.
Well, Paul, you know, the taking of the knee is not new, is it? We've been talking in this space now for the best part of a year since Project Restart, you know, and it was quite clearly defined why the players wanted to bring this to the fore, why they wanted to do it before every match day. And that has been consistent. So you either are listening to what the players are trying to achieve here or you're not. And I think what happened last night, the booing, and let's be serious, whether it's isolated or not, it happened enough for it to be drowning out our TV screens. You know, it happened in the Champions League final with two English sides in the Champions League final, and it happened in the FA Cup final. So we now know that there are elements of a lot of fan bases who are not listening or not understanding or not wanting to appreciate. And I heard what you said there just then, Paul, and you know, this is the English white players, this is the England black players, this is the England dual heritage players who are playing for their shirt. They're playing for the Free Lions. They're representing their country and all the pride that that must bring, not only to themselves, but their family members and football clubs, etc. as well. So to hear that booing, as you're just about to represent in the build-up to a big tournament where England actually have been, obviously, you know, we are very hopeful, aren't we, that we could bring that trophy home. To hear that booing just says to me that there's a certain section of the fan base that supports England that actually only wants you to bring that trophy home on their terms. And for me, that is probably the most disrespectful element of what I heard last night.
I found it so demoralising. And I wonder, and this isn't the key part of this, but there were more people in that crowd who applauded than booed, I think, right? I can't be sure, but it felt like a sizable minority that booed and a majority that applauded. And I wonder if, you know, in the sort of banal practicalities of taking a knee, there is a silence and a boo and then a cheer. And I wonder if, and the applause to drown out, I wonder if now we should say, if you go to a football match and you are anti-racist and you are proud of being anti-racist and you are proud of supporting your players that are calling for equality, that you start applauding as soon as they take the knee. You start cheering as soon as they take a knee to say, we are supporting this. So, if you know, we are starting this rather than waiting for the boos. I don't know if that is a good idea or not, Troy.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying, Max. But, you know, the onus here is on those people who actually are showing their disgust. And whilst I understand what you're saying, you know, let's cheer louder, let's cheer first, let's bring it to the fore. Those people will still be booing. So whether we hear it, whether it's drowned out or whether it's not, we have to identify who those people are. You know, everyone talks about education in this space, and let's provide the understanding around what the players are doing, what they're trying to achieve, what the game has embraced, why they feel that equality, you know, in regards to racial equality, but also in terms of just the wider elements of discrimination. Why is it so important? If I've heard one player say that, I've heard a million players say it. So if you don't want to get it at this time, in this space now, it's because you've never understood it. And for me, no element of education will really change someone's mind if they're that way inclined. We have to offer it as an opportunity, but I think that now we've got to come to a stage where we really have to start rooting out these people. Remembering, you know, those clips and images will go around the world now. Football is coming to England. The Euros is coming to England. And if that's going to be the start base of where we kick off our football matches, this story is only going to grow and grow and grow. And it would overshadow what I hope would be a really important and successful tournament that we're going to have.
And we pride ourselves generally on being far more enlightened than an awful lot of other nations in this area. And as you say, to send those pictures do go around the world, and those countries that we've criticised in the past over the racist incidents will say, yeah, well, this is happening in England. What's the difference?
Yeah, we do pride ourselves, but we pride ourselves with our own personal ignorance, to be totally honest. You know, we tend to are ready to shout about it when it's in Bulgaria, when it's in Montenegro, because it's not our responsibility as such. So we can shout at those nations because it's easy. But for me, we always have to start looking inwardly first. It's no point talking about what happens in Bulgaria and Montenegro if it still happens on our field of play, if it still happens in our stands. We have to get our own house in order and be as good as we can be on this topic of conversation, and in our punishments and in all other aspects of how we provide education and how extensive that may be. But we have to make sure that we do that here before we're critical. It's right that we are critical when it happens. No, we don't want any of our players exposed to hate, you know, when they're playing for their country, when they're playing for their clubs. But, you know, it's a little bit of, well, we have to make sure that we do what's right and everything that's right here first. And you're quite right. You know, the whole of the Euros, and I'll go beyond that, the whole of the world will be looking at this competition, you know, and making sure, first and foremost, that we can pull it off, because a lot of the games are based in England, but also that it goes without any kind of controversy. And that will be the biggest amount of controversy to start with.
What do we say, Troy? People who've read the history know that taking the knee has been going since the 1780s, you know, through to Martin Luther King, Melissa Reddy wrote a good piece about this to Colin Kaepernick as well. The people, and as you can imagine, lots of texts saying, you know, this is to do with BLM. This is a political narrative forced by left-wing people. What do we say to people who are, you know, who to the point of disliking this conversation so much, are prepared to spend 50p on a text message to this radio station right now? I can see them in front of me.
Yeah, but Max, you know, every time I come on and talk about racism in football, that you would also get a flood of text messages. So it's not just about BLM, as they put it, or Marxist organisation. It's almost the topic of conversation around racism. Many of those people that are texting in will actually not believe that racism exists, will not want to appreciate the experiences of players and how they have been targeted based on the colour of their skin or their background or faith. So it's nothing new, is it? We're in this space to hopefully try and help people understand, but we have to accept that there will be a large majority who will not, no matter how it's presented, want to appreciate and understand the experiences of others who do not look like them, who do not sound like them, and as far as they're concerned, are a little bit of a prima donna because of all the money that they get as well. So let's split those people from those that actually want to understand in this space. And to be fair, let's get this right. For the past year, so many people have been on board with understanding the experiences of others and wanting to learn, wanting to read more books, wanting to go on webinars, wanting to understand more in this space, the experiences of so many, and then form that bond to be allies so that they can go off and influence other people as well. But there will still be the hardcore who, no matter what, I'll be honest with you, it could be Black Lives Matter. It could be Kick It Out when we were prominent and people were saying, well, what do you do as an organization? Or it could be any other organization that's around racism as such, let's say, but many parts of discrimination itself that do not want it on their airwaves, do not want it in their stadiums. They're there to watch the football. It's almost like they're controlling the experience of the players, the negative experience that players can have received. They want that control. They want to be the people in control of that. That can't be right. So opening your mind up, being appreciative that we're all different. We all have those different experiences. But also understanding that you know, they have so much, those people have so much to learn as well. But they have to have the appetite to learn. And I think the people that are probably texting in don't appreciate that they have to have the appetite to learn. They're not open-minded enough to do that.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
We've got to guess the ages of these people that Andy's going to come up with. And the one that does so with the kind of fewest years, if you like, the margin of error that builds over 10 birthdays, is the winner. I've won 18, Max has won 3, but he did win last week, and it does mean I lead us off this afternoon as I'm officially a loser. So take it away, Andy and Pele and Jeff.
Yes, and our first birthday today is our very good friend. We're going to be hearing from him, TalkSport, next week, David Baddiel. David Baddiel.
Oh, Dave, yeah.
And, when we were together last week, well, he brought me one of those old-fashioned dairy-made ice cream cornets, which I promptly spilled down the front of my top. Yes, I had 3 lions on my shirt.
Oh, very good. How old's Dave? That's a good question, actually.
I mean, you worked with him for how many years?
Yeah,
I'm not going to say this. I'm going to say this is a fix.
Pretty well. What is he? 50, but younger. 57. I'm going to go with.
So I think it's quite a good guess there. I'll go 56.
Oh, he's 57.
Oh, okay, well, I've got the direct hit.
Here we go. 10 people that Paul's worked with regularly. See. That's what happens a week after he loses.
I'm not sure he's worked with all the people on the list today.
No, I've been around a while. Okay.
It's Paul,
next
Neil,
birthday.
Max One.
Okay. Yes, yeah. Next birthday. TalkSport producer John Cadden. It's the musical theatre actor and singer Idina Menzel. Idina Menzel. And Idina loves an argument about football. She's still insisting Jeff Hurst's second goal in the 1966 World Cup final wasn't over the line. I said to her, come on, Idina, why don't you just let it go?
Here we are. Yeah.
Well, that gives me a clue that she sung Let It Go from Frozen, I hope, because I haven't got a clue who this person is.
Right, okay.
Did you know who that was?
Only there's a very funny clip of John Travolta trying to say her name at the Oscars.
Right.
Doesn't do a great job with it.
Because I was going to go really high, but now okay. She sings Let It Go.
Let it go, let it go. That's what it was all done in autotune. That's what she sounds like.
That's right.
This is a real problem. This is a real problem this early. Got no teeth.
Stop it, Paul.
How young is she? Because you know, that was quite a few years ago, Paul,
mate.
No, I've got it. This early.
Yeah.
38.
I tell you what, for a bloke who didn't know, I don't know how old she is, do I? I mean, she can't be much. She's got to be around that. 41, I'm going to go with.
Surprisingly, Adina is 50.
Oh, she's wearing well.
Paul 9, Max 13.
That could have been a disaster.
Yeah, well done, Max. That was good. You got out of jail there. Thanks. Okay.
Yes, happy birthday to the soul singer of Midnight Train to Georgia. It's Gladys Knight. And I organised a dinner party for her and three of my lesser-known sporting mates, actually. The English darts player Pip Blackwell, the international lawn bowls player Pip Bramfield, and European senior tour professional Pip Elson. Yeah. Just had a wonderful evening with Gladys Knight and the Pip.
Of course you did, yeah.
And good night.
The most telegraphed joke.
Yeah, it was.
Really. Jokes. Yeah. It was marvellous.
Gladys Knight's got to be getting on, with respect. What a legend, though. What is she these days? 78, Gladys.
82.
77, great guess.
Oh, that was so silly of me, wasn't it?
Well, it's Paul 10, Max 18.
Okay, yeah.
Work to do, Max.
Ooh, bit of a lead at this stage. Okay, the fine cartoonist, of course, worked for the Sunday Times from 67 to 2017, Gerald Scarfe. And back in the day, I used to go to a game with him, him and the famous conductor, Sir Simon Rattle.
Oh.
It was always good to go to
Scarfe
and Rattle. Thank you very much.
What were the Pips? You spend a lot of time with people with interesting names, don't you? Yeah. What do you think, Max? Gerald Scarfe.
Blimey.
You know his work, don't you?
Nope. 81.
Yes, again, you're doing well. Even when you don't know these people, I think you're doing pretty well. He can't be far off of that. I'll go 80.
He's 85.
Oh, Max, I think this is... We're back in it.
Well, OK.
What's that done to the scores, Jeff?
Right, so... Max is 4 out. Mm-hmm. And Paul is... You said 80, didn't you, Paul?
I did,
5 out. So you're on 15, Paul, mm-hmm. and Max is on 22.
OK. OK, still time.
Bit of a narrowing of the gap. OK, it's a happy birthday to the lead singer of the Fine Young Cannibals, Roland Gift. And at one time, he had a string of runners at John Joe O'Neill's yard.
Did he really?
I pulled over during the festival to take a peek at them. One of the stallions had the most terrible bad breath. As I recall, John Joe said, "Never look a gift horse in the mouth."
That's beautiful. Oh, that's beautifully constructed. Roland Gift, you can't imagine him in his pomp, don't you, as a singer with the Fine Young Cannibals, but he's got to be getting on a bit now. With respect, if you're listening, Roland, 59.
Well, I've written 61, so I'll stick with that.
He's 60.
Oh, okay.
The two players are the best of their game.
Good work. Yeah.
16, Paul, Max, 23.
Not much in it. Back to Max.
Okay. Happy birthday to the singer Alanis Morissette. And I knew her really well when I was young. I was so poor, I could never afford to buy her a birthday present. Then just as I landed this well-paid job at TalkSport, we fell out and there was no call to get her anything. What's the word for that?
Oh, yeah. What about that? That's clever, isn't it? Yeah.
I think.
Alanis. And you've lost, Max. Now he's just basically playing the game. He's not interested in
winning. I know.
I guess I know. I'm aware of it all. That's what someone said. If you, you know, if you've got 10,000 spoons, you need a knife. That's not ironic. It's just a pain in the backside,
of course
isn't
it? Yeah.
45.
Yeah, she's probably in that envelope, isn't she? 48.
47.
Oh,
well
okay.
Done. Well this done,
is,
Paul.
Right, what's that down at the scores, Jeff?
Well, it's still fairly tight after 6. Mm. Paul is on 17,
yeah.
And Max is on 25. So there's 8 in it,
not
4 to go.
Back to me.
Now, here come the 4 that you don't know.
Wow.
That always separate the men from the boys.
Mm. The Paul from the
birthday.
Max, you mean?
Well, that's true. The joint chief executive of the National Theatre and chairman of Lyric Hammersmith, Lisa Berger. And I couldn't believe my luck when she went into the fast food business with the former Arsenal chairman, Sir Chips Keswick.
Hey, yes.
I think she also went into business with the former footballer, Mia Hamm.
Oh, dear, yeah, I suppose she would have done, yeah, Mia Burgers.
Oh, yeah.
So,
yeah,
I'd say...
Thanks.
That's good.
50...
Yeah, I prefer Sir Chips.
Go 52. On. I'm going quite young. I've taken a chance.
Current CEO...
Well, it's yeah. National okay. Theatre, yeah, Lisa
yeah,
Berger.
Yeah, yeah, okay, 52. Yeah. That's quite a good guess there. I go 56.
59.
Okay. Oh, I think this could be the moment it gets very tight.
So the gap has been closed. Mm. It is now Paul 24, Max 28.
Four in it. Here we go. Max is next.
Okay. Happy birthday to the president of the National Farmers Union, Minette Batters. Minette Batters. And we still own a fish and chip shop together. I do the frying and Minette Batters.
Hey, that's two runny stuff. That's very good.
It is.
Minette Batters.
Yeah.
President of the National Farmers Union is 67.
I might go a bit younger, but not much. 60, I'm going to go.
She's 54.
Oh,
she's older, doesn't she? I know.
Still a long way.
Damn it.
Still a long way.
Come on, Minette. She's had a tough paper round.
What's that done? The scores, Jeff?
Paul moves on to 30, and Max is now on 41. 11 in it, two to go.
Still not much, though. Okay. Here we go, then.
How many?
11. Me next.
Okay, the chairman of the O2 PLC from 2004 to 2006, Sir David Arculus. Sir David Arculus. And last time we met, we had a huge row over whose turn it was to wear the virtual reality headset. It's an Oculus Rift.
Hey.
Good night.
Very good.
David,
can't say good night more than once, Andy. Yeah. I think in a run of 10.
Well, I do. this standard, I can say good night 10 times.
David Arculus. 70.
Do you know David Arculus?
I know the name when he's from his publishing days, but I don't know. I don't think I ever met him.
Risk, isn't
it? Have I ever met him?
What did you say, 60?
I went 70.
You went 70?
Yeah.
75.
Ooh. Good work. Ooh. He's spot on. Sir David Arculus is 75.
Okay. 75. So what's that down the scores?
It makes it very interesting because that's 9 down, 1 to go. Paul is on 35. Mm. Max is on 41. There's 6 in it, and it's Paul to go first.
Okay, here we go then.
Okay, it's the Conservative MP for West Aberdeenshire and Kincardine, Andrew Bowie. And I couldn't believe it recently when he listed a very expensive antique globe on eBay for about a tenth of its value, which I snapped up. That's why I always call Bowie the man who sold the world. Really? That's so
wonderful. Wonderful, Andy. Here we go.
Do you know Andrew Bowie?
Yeah.
Do you? Yeah. You do know him?
Yeah.
Do you really know
when
him?
When I was a parliamentary assistant.
Oh, yeah.
Because, of course, that's my politics, as everyone would have guessed for the last 10 years.
I haven't got a clue. I just haven't got a clue. I'm just going to guess. I'm going to go 58.
I think that's quite good.
It's not much in it. It's only 6, isn't it?
It's only 6.
I've gone 58.
You've
okay.
Gone 58.
Go on, Max. We need the tension music, really, isn't it?
65.
Ooh.
So what was it? What did you say, Paul? 56?
Oh, I'm definitely wrong. You heard Jeff Peters exhale like that.
I said 58, didn't I?
58?
Yeah.
And I said 65.
Well, bad luck, because Andrew Bowie is 34.
Oh,
sneak one in there.
Oh, that's clever, Andy. It's clever. The Bowie, the old Bowie move.
Max went the wrong way.
Went the wrong way.
Oh, went the wrong way.
So, agony.
Well, Paul was 24 out. Max was 31 out. So the final scores, it's Paul 59, Max 72. It's 19-3 that Paul leads, and Max fails to get back-to-back victories.
Oh, Andy shaped that, of course, with the old Bowie at 34. It was clever, Andy.
It was brilliant.
You made it. Yeah, it was. It was a good move.
I mean, listen, you cannot argue with a game that goes to the last where the second guesser can get it right if they go either way. It had everything that game. Andy Goldstein and Darren Goff will be taking your calls after four.
Yeah, they'll still be talking about it. They're going to get... Yes. It's
no, they're doing fish fingers.
They are fish fingers. We always find room for fish fingers. Much like that bloke. Did 100 of them. Okay, Andy, thank you. I shall see you tomorrow. I'll enjoy watching England's batting collapse in your company tomorrow. It's always a joy.
Cheers, Jeff.
It's always a joy. Cheers, cheers, Andy.
Cheers, guys.
Cheers, Jeff. For the narrative, a victory for me there would have been better. But, you know, you're an elite sports person. You don't care for narratives, do you?
I was clueless. I look at my score. It's quite terrible. I mean, you know, I feel sorry for Andrew Bowie. We put double his age on him, poor fella. Anyway, there we are. That's the birthday spread. You get the idea. It's now 19-3, isn't it?
It is 19-3, but that's a very dangerous lead.
It is. Well, they always say that.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
There we are. That was this afternoon's show. And Andy Jacobs, the skullduggery of slinging in I mean, a child of 34 like that.
I thought it was... His job is to do the jokes and the birthdays. I have no axe to grind with Andy. You played very well. I played very well. And... I'm disappointed in myself because that is that's one that's got away.
You just want to build that momentum.
I really don't. I just think if I can get two on the spin, I think 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 to 19 take care of themselves.
Yeah. Well, anyway, we'll do it all again next week. Max, you're back on Saturday, is that right?
Yeah, Saturday, 9 o'clock.
9 o'clock with Charlie.
Sunday, 9 o'clock with Barry.
And Andy will be back with me tomorrow. I'll have some live racing for you, and we'll keep an eye on the cricket, which is always a joy with Andy, plus of course clips of the week. So if you can join us, great. If not, podcast available around 4.
You've been listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. Hear the guys every weekday between 1 and 4 p.m. on TalkSport.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.